So this evening I'd like to offer some reflections on a suggestion made by Plato. So the story goes, it is said when Plato was very near his death, a friend asked him to summarize his life work, the Dialogues. Plato came out of a coma to answer. He looked at his friend and he said simply, "Practice dying." So what did he mean? What did he mean if he had produced all these wonderful works in his life, but his final statement on his point of death, as he was close to his death, what seemed most important at that time was practice dying. This would be a useful thing. So what does that mean for us here as we practice on this retreat? Does that have any relevance for us as we engage in the practice of being present? What does it mean to practice dying? I think with Plato in that situation, with his physical death as a very real reminder in that point, that what seemed important to him at that time was to be able to die, to be able to die well out of this world. And the tradition, the Buddhist tradition, often uses death, the physical death, our physical death, as a point of reflection, to bring that into mind, to bring it into consciousness, as a point of reflection to see if we can hold in consciousness both birth, life and death. Very often it's very easy to turn a blind eye, to forget about our death, to forget about that it's the only guarantee, actually, the only guarantee of all the experiences we might want to have, might fear in our life. This one is the one we can be certain of. So it's used in the tradition to bring it into mind, to contemplate it, not to be macabre or grisly or grim, not at all, but actually as a reminder to us, as a reminder of its inevitability, has a capacity to wake us up. It has a capacity, if we're feeling lacking motivation one day on our retreat, to bring in that reflection on our death. Tends to bring some energy. It tends to bring some energy because it makes us want to understand what it is to be alive. One of the useful reflections on death, this is different from the practice of dying, but the death of bringing death into consciousness. If we have in our mind just the view of always looking at birth and our life, and we kind of keep this one aside, we keep death at just a little bit outside of our consciousness, then we are always going to find death a problem, the view of our death as a problem. What would it mean to be able to hold in our hearts the seeming opposites, they seem like opposites, of birth and death? Can a heart be wide enough to hold both of those at the same time? That yes, just as I was born and live in this life, so I will die. Can it hold both of those at the same time? What we find is, with a mind that's only trained in discriminating between this and that, right and wrong, left and right, up and down, the mind that's very well trained that way cannot hold those two together, because it sees birth, it looks that direction, it sees birth, and then it sees death. And it's used to fragmenting the world in terms of what it can see that way and what it can see that way. To that mind that's only trained that way, it cannot hold these two, and death is always held out as a problem. Practice asks us not to kill that mind, not at all. It's a very useful mind to be able to discriminate between things. But we're actually asked to train to be able to listen to something else, to be able to listen to something else which is wide enough to hold birth and death. And this is what we're invited to look at again and again. The reflection, again, on our physical death, the reflection of the reality that we don't know when it will be. You know, even if we're only 20, 30, 40, 50, we don't actually know when it will be. And there's many people who do not fulfill their 4 score years or 3 score years or whatever it is, the, an old age, many people, many, many people. And for those people, and even those ones who did live to be old, did they know when the day began that day, you know, and the dawn opened and the sky became blue or cloudy, and the day and the morning started and breakfast was eaten, did they know that that would be the day that they were to die? What would it be to live in the appreciation, actually, that it could be today? It could be today. Not again, not from any sense of despair or kind of squashing us, not at all. But if it was today, just pose it to yourself as a question. If it was today, what would your day be like? What would you give yourself to in this day if you knew it was today? A few more hours left of today, you know, what would you do? How would you take your step in the walking? How would you breathe in the breathing? How would you hold yourself in this way? So that's the reflection of death, but Plato's invitation sounded more like practice it. Practice dying. So how can you do that if you're not actually coming to your physical death? How can you practice dying here and now? In some ways, for many of you, coming on this retreat will have been practicing dying. For many of you, you've left behind many conditions, many life situations which you're very connected with, very fond of, involved in, and you've left them aside to come here. And in a very real way, this is a practice of dying. This is a practice of dying, of letting go of what was before. So the retreat may be a symbol of the willingness to just see what's possible if we just practice letting go of what is already known. And when we come onto retreat, when we practice dying, it's very different from killing. It's very different from crushing, from squashing. It's actually allowing conditions to just pass away in their own time. Things that have come together to let it pass away in its own time. In the Buddhist tradition, again, a lot is spoken about birth and death. Birth and death are sort of cycles, and in the traditional view, you know, it's projected, it's given as a situation occurring from lifetime to lifetime. You know, we take birth and die, and then we take birth and die, and we take birth and die. For us to practice dying, it's not necessary to have that view. It's not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily helpful or useful to have that view from lifetime to lifetime. But we can understand it in the course of a day of sitting. We can understand this process of being born and dying on a moment-to-moment level in the course of our day of practicing being with ourselves. And this is what we're very interested to look at, because this cycle in the meditation, in the day of being alive, where this process happens, this is what feels like bondage. This is what feels like not being free, where we feel like we're kind of on a roller coaster of spinning in the same cycles, same patterns, same this, same that. These are the cycles of birth and death, metaphorically, that we're looking at. So when I came to reflect on this just earlier, and I wanted to give an illustration of what that might mean in our life, it came to me in a popular song. There's a popular song that I think illustrates this very well. Actually, it's not popular anymore. I think it's from the 1940s. And I'd like to offer it as a way to understand this birth and death, birth and death, birth and death that happens moment to moment in our life. What happens when we know that we're doing this thing of birth and death, and it might sound very obscure at the moment. What does she mean, birth and death? I don't know that. in my practice. But what it means is when we start to feel this life very personally, when we start to have an experience, we take it very personally. When something happens and we feel, oh, that says something about me, it means this about me, whether positive or negative or indifferent, it doesn't make any difference. So in this song, which some of you will know, I think it's a Cole Porter song from a musical, I think. So please forgive the genre. It's called Every Time We Say Goodbye. And what happens in this song, and I'll sing a couple of the lines, is that in a way the music and the words are kind of showing us this pattern of birth and death, of birth and death, of birth and death. And what happens in those conditions, somehow the culture is rather fascinated by it. We're a little bit intoxicated with this birth and death business, even though it's kind of got this uncomfortable bit where we have to die at the end and let go of something. We kind of want to keep doing it. We kind of want to keep doing it. So in this song, he or she says, and they're starting off by illustrating that experience of dying. And he or she, I guess it's he if it's Cole Porter, says, it's a bit strange.